All right, we'll get, if you'll turn over to Galatians chapter 6, we won't be long before you today, I don't think. I say that, and sometimes I look up, as you guys know, it'll be 10 till, but I try to watch that lately, especially since the men like to gather and pray over here before the service, so try to be mindful of that. While you're turning, I always give you something exciting that's been happening at home. We don't do much, as far as getting out and traveling as much as we did, but we're always got something going on. I've got that antenna. You guys have been in this class a while. No, I don't like, I hadn't liked cable company, not per se the cable company, but cable in general for a long time. And just, I always thought the prices were too high for what you get, and they always go up, and they pull you in with some plan for, $20 a month for a year or something, then they go to 60 or whatever. But anyway, I say that, I got that antenna on my house, and I can't get up there and turn it anymore, or Kim won't let me. If I could get the ladder around there, I'd try to get up there, but my problem is I can't drag the ladder. So I've tried to do that, I've tried to hook it to the back of that golf cart and drag it, but it just won't work. But anyway, we're trying, this week we got a 7-day trial of YouTube TV, and so we're trying that because it gets the local channels. And if I get it, then I won't have to return my antenna that's on my roof. And that's what we've got going on. So it's kind of funny. You go around to the get everybody's opinion on what they think about it, And Jesse's got one. Maggie's got one. Of course, Kim's got one. And I'm just trying to stay off the roof. But anyway, that's what I get tickled about. All right, here we go. Let's see. Galatians 6. We'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. We're going to be looking at burdens this morning, the word burden. Just really definitions of it, so kind of focus on that as we get to it. I didn't realize, as we look in verse number 2 in just a second, verse number 5, that the burden has a different meaning in those two verses. And it's a different meaning throughout Scripture, too. It's going to be one of those two meanings. And so I went and tried to find a couple verses examples of what the Bible's, I think, trying to teach us about bearing one another's burdens and about our burdens. And I thought burden was burden, but it varies. And it's going to be really similar, but at the same time, it's a different context. So chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 10, Lord willing. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thyself also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's a big problem we have today. But let every, not just us, but everybody, the world, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. There's that word again. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And if that's correctly reading verses 1 through 10, Galatians chapter 6, if you'll join me looking back there in verse number 1, it says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are of spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. I've got a note here in the Bible. I don't know if it's from somebody's preaching or it was a Sunday school class or something, but I made me a little error out and put a note next to it. It said, keep your guard up. And I thought that was ironic as I was studying, and I saw that note, of course, as I was studying and over the last week, and I ran into a guy that used to run with a lot, and I saw him, and he was talking about riding his motorcycle, and he was riding down off somewhere over in North Carolina. He was coming down a mountain and talking about a two-lane road, and he said the mail carrier wasn't paying attention and drifted over in his lane. And his comment was, he said, boy, I'm sure glad I had my guard up. And I'd been studying that, and I said, and it kind of perked my ear. Of course, I was listening to him anyway, but it kind of perked up. And I said, yeah, it's good to have that guard up, isn't it? And he said, yeah. He said, I was paying attention. He said, I was hoping she's going to give me enough space. I said, what'd you do? He said, well, he said, since I had my guard up, he said, I didn't reflex immediately and go off the mountain. And I thought about that. I said, ain't that how, you know, think about how we are in our Christian life sometimes, you know, if you're in the Scripture, and praying the way you should be, and fellowshipping and studying. And so where God wants you to be, he said, you got your guard up. A lot of things in this world have your guard on about. And something happens, you just don't go off the side of the mountain. When he said that, that clicked me. And he said, yeah, I didn't just go off the side of the mountain. He said, I saw her and I had my eyes right on her. In other words, he kept his eyes on her because she was going to be the problem, or the Jeep. She was in a Jeep. You know, one of those where, you know, they drive on the wrong side of the road. That's what I always say about them. You know, they either hold the wheel over here and put the mail out, or they got their steering wheel here, and I don't know which one they had. But she drifted. And he said, yeah, I had my guard up. I didn't go off the mountain. He said, I was hoping she was going to give me enough room to get by. And he said, I had to tell myself, she's going to give you enough room. She's going to give you enough room. And he said, his other comment was, you know, he said, I don't require much, just a little. He said, just enough me and that motorcycle to go right on by. He said, that's all I needed. And he said, she gave me enough room. He said, she realized I was passing her. About the time I got next to her, she looked up and saw me. And he said she had me squeezed in between the side of the road, and I was still on pavement, but the road, and said she'd realized what she'd done. But he kept his guard up. And I thought about that as I'd read that. I said, you know, ain't that how we need to be in our lives, in our families, as moms and dads, or husband and wives, or even kids at school, if you're saved in this world, and of course, a world full of the devil and trying to pull you all different directions, you need to keep your guard up. You need to be aware of what's going on around you at all times. Don't panic. Don't go off the mountainside. See, if he'd done that, not knowing, if he'd stayed his course, she gave him enough room to pass. I thought about that. And that's how we are. So if we just stay the course. You know, Pastor's been preaching from the wide gate, narrow gate. He's been bringing that up some, the path that we take. And of course, the Old Testament talk about the old paths and how narrow the way is sometimes, but you know that way will get you there. It may be narrow, but you stay with it, and you'll pass. You'll get by. Don't go off the mountainside. And we're going to talk about burden today, but as I read that, that stuck with me. It said, considering thyself. In other words, think about that when you think about yourself. Keep your guard up, lest thou also be tempted. And what that means there in verse number 1 is when you restore a brethren, it's like when you fix a bone or repair a bone or a broken leg or arm, whatever it is. It's when I think about, just came to my mind, I can see Brother Rick sitting on the steps there during the Christmas program up here. He's fixing that fish net, you know, working on it. And when they're doing their scene there during the Christmas program. That's what that means. It means repair, restore fellowship. But also consider thyself. In other words, as he was talking about that motorcycle not going off the cliff, but keep your course. Stay faithful to what you've set out to do. And went right by. Verse number 2, here we get to where we're studying. I spent more time in verse number 1. I just came to my mind this week and thought I'd share that with you as I was reading that, because that's a lot of truth in that. I remember my mom and dad used to say, keep your guard up. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I went, and what I did, I looked up burden in verse number 2 and verse number 5, because that was what I was really wanting to focus Sunday school lesson on this morning, and we'll be finished, really. Verse number 2, when you look at burdens, it means barrows, or I hope I'm saying that right. It's B-A-R-O apostrophe S. And it's from the Greek word, which means a moral weakness. Means pace. A notion of going down. That's what it means, moral weakness. In other words, more moral character. It's more of a spiritual burden. It's more of a spiritual comment or a connotation to it, not a physical burden, so to speak. It means abundance, too much, burdensome weight. It means you need help. Got to have somebody to help you. But it might be more of a spiritual, or more of a, I said might be, according to the definition, it is more of a moral weakness or a moral going down. So you would think about it as if you were to look at that, said, you know, our country, our nation needs our prayers morally. It's going down spiritually, if you use the definition here. Verse number 2, bear you one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me give you a few examples here. just a couple as we look through Scripture, then we'll go on like verse 3 and 4, and we'll get over verse number 5. But if you go over to Matthew 20, or you don't have to turn with me, I'll read it to you. It's just a verse here and there, and not many of them. Just a couple as an example in Scripture of a burden, such as the description here, a notion of going down, very weighty on your soul, very weighty on you spiritually. Matthew 20, verse number 12. I'll go to verse number 11. And we'll read two or three verses here. Talking about the workers in the vineyard. And this is a really good example of that, of course, Christ is given here in a parable. And he's talking about workers in the vineyard. Of course, that means the workers in the church, for example. And he's comparing the workers who started early versus the ones that end late. And you know, this would be a good lesson, I think, too, in Sunday school. If you get a preacher sometime, study this out, and preach to us. I think a lot of us would think this way. And as I was reading this, think about how you can see how the workers would think this way, but how Christ's answer is. In other words, the ones that are first will be last, the ones that are last first. And I never really studied and looked at this before. But let me just read this and study, just read this for you, and you think about this. Again, chapter 20, verse number 11, when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. In other words, they got paid for the day, so to speak. They were laborers. And we didn't read all the verse, all the chapter, but kind of starting here at the end. But they got paid for the work at the end of the day. Verse number 12 saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. In other words, there's some here that you've paid the same as you've paid us, and they've worked 1 hour. And they has made them equal unto us, which have borne, here it is, the burden and heat of the day. In other words, this other group saying, hey, look, we work since morning. If you go back and you study that out, you can see that and then what it tells us, verse number 5 and in verse number 4, the times of day that the good man of the house, so to speak, went and hired people and got them to work. So, you know, like it would be 6 a.m. in the morning, then 9 a.m. in the morning, then at noon, then at 3 p.m., and then at 6 p.m., for example, he paid everybody. But the ones he would have hired at 3 p.m., he paid the same as he got at 6 a.m. Well, the ones at 6 a.m., they're saying, wait a second, we bore the weight of the day. We had the whole heat of the day. We had the entire burden. And what it's saying here, and this is why I refer back to the church, is that in verse number 2 from Galatians, that's talking about that spiritual burden, that moral burden. What Christ is going to say here said it doesn't matter. He said the weight's the same. We share it all, whether you're the first or the last to be the first. You know, in Murfreesboro, we don't have anything like this here that I know of, but Randall that was here, y'all met Randall. He looks like he's about 16. I always tell him that. We call him Little Randall, and he was here that day, and of course, he's a little fellow, but he drinks from the same thing, I guess, Brother Rick does. They both look young, you know. They still look like they're 35, 30 years old, whatever, but Little Randall, he was here, and I remember, you know, he got that construction business. I told you he wanted me to go work with him. I said, no, I'm not going to work. I don't know anything about building houses, and I should have went with him and built houses. But anyway, I would still ride with him. We'd be in school, and I wouldn't have class or whatever, and I'd ride with him. Well, in Murfreesboro, there's places that you just pull up, convenience store. One place was an Exxon, and there'd be workers out there. And he'd get out, and I was always amazed. A lot of them men would be older than he and I both because he started when he was in his early 20s doing this. He'd say, all right, I need 3 men to work concrete, that can do concrete work. I need 2 more. I've got to dig some water lines, and I need, you know, whatever. And if he needed to put a roof on, he'd pull up and he'd say, you know, I need 4 more that can put shingles on, whatever, you know, and they'd raise their hands. And he'd get to know some of them. And he'd get there and he'd say, oh, yeah, I've used those guys before. They know how to work concrete, or they can dig, or they're good workers or whatever. So he'd load them up in his SUV or pickup truck or whatever, and he'd take them wherever it needed to be to work. Well, if he had done that, then he'd went back and he'd paid them. And he'd say he got them early in the morning, and he'd have paid the same, main money for the day or same wage for the day that he'd went and picked up somebody at 3 o'clock, then 6 o'clock. They're going to get wise, and they're going to start saying, well, hey, when that guy comes around, don't volunteer early in the morning. He'll come back at 3 o'clock and get the rest of us, and he'll pay us the same thing. We only work 3 hours versus 12. So that's what these people were murmuring about. But Christ had more of a spiritual meaning here, and again, this burden here means more of a moral application. Moral weakness means a going down. Like I said, more like you think about we are today, not we, not individual here in the church, but the world, our nation, just in general, the decline we're having. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. This is what the good man of the house, of course, answered. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? In other words, is this not what you agreed to work for? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. And as you go through and you look at that, and as the workers in the vineyard, as they begin to complain and murmur, that, hey, wait a minute, we worked harder. What Christ is telling them here said, oh, that's not your concern. And he asked the question here too. He says, is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with mine own? In other words, it's mine. I can do what I want to with it. You know, I think we've all gotten that habit, and maybe at some point, maybe you haven't, but you know, something not go your way, maybe on the job, or you see something that you think, I'm not going to say it's an injustice, because that's the wrong word to use, but maybe somebody's done something along the way with the way they've spent their money, or the way they've done something with maybe a reward they've gotten, or a windfall of whatever it may be, land, money, whatever. It might be material possessions, and you might make the comment or even think within yourself, say, well, I can't believe they did that. Or why'd they buy that? Or why'd they sell that? Or whatever it may be. You know, if you stop and you take this approach, and again, Christ is speaking spiritually here in this parable, but it just kind of give us an example. Sometimes we need to sit back and think, well, that may be what I think, but it's not mine to be worried about. It was theirs to do what they want to with it. None of my business, so to speak, how they spend it or what they do or if they give it away. That's their concern. That's for them to worry about. In other words, that's their burden if something goes wrong. Think about that. And I think that's what Christ is telling us here, as we see in verse number 2 in Galatians 6, is there are some burdens that are our own, but they're moral burdens. You know, there's spiritual battles we have to face. And no matter what we may say about each other, because you may be able to see remnants of that in their lives, you may be able to look at your life, you may be able to look at mine, we still pray for each other. But those are some that it was my business to do, or not only my business, but maybe I got myself into that. And I think that's what Christ's saying here with these workers in the vineyard. In other words, I can do what I want to with mine own, and the first to be last, and last to be first. In other words, it's for me to decide, for me to do. In other words, the ones that you think about in the church world that started out in the church members when Paul and Peter and they were preaching, they could stand up and say, wait a second, see, look what we went through, persecution, and you guys this morning sitting in an air conditioned church and you drove cars to get here and there's nobody of a threat coming in to haul you out. You know, there's no Pharisees coming in, beating on the door. There's no laws against you meeting. Wait a second, we've suffered more. Christ said, no, you let me worry about that. And so I think that's what we're seeing in Galatians 2, is that bear ye one another's burdens so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, there as well, we need to be aware of each other, what's going on in our lives morally, spiritually, and pray for one another. And you say, well, wait a second, how's that going to be different? Well, in a second you'll see the burdens become more of a physical burden sometimes. Sickness, as we'll see in just a second. Or maybe we're elderly or a senior citizen maybe needs some different types of burdens as we go along. And if you look over in Revelations 2:24, I just happen to remember that. I was using the church for an example. And again, I'll just read that verse to you. This is an example in the church that stood fast during the times. I think it's Thyatira, I believe. Yeah, it is, Thyatira, or Thyatira, however you want to say it. Revelation 2, verse 24, an example of a church that stood fast during the times when Satan's teachings were predominant. In other words, people were turning more to the wiles of the devil. In other words, they were being confused. Their minds were being corrupted with things of the world, things of Satan. In verse number 24, it said, "But unto you I say," he's talking to the church, "and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine." In other words, you don't have that teaching of the devil, so to speak, or teaching of the world, "and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." And that translated is the same burden as we just saw the workers in the vineyard concerned about, and also in Galatians 6, verse number 2. Same type of burden, moral decline, a going downhill, going away from, spiritual decline. And so what I think here is what's being told to this church here. Said, "Well, wait a second." Said, "For those of you who did not accept this doctrine, I'm not going to put any more burden on you." In other words, maybe they're still getting out fighting against it, giving out tracts, whatever it may be, being witnesses, whatever they may be doing here. But they're fighting against a system that's growing continually. You know, we talk about the depths of hell enlarges itself, and as I see that, and I think about here with this church, they might be out, and they weren't perfect as we see, but at the same time, they might have still been out trying to do what they could. And Christ tells us that I'm not going to put any more on you than what you've already got. That's more a spiritual burden. Let's continue on. Verse number 3. "For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And I said that as I was reading. That's a big problem today. Just with I think the way people think today. They think they're first and you're last, or I think I'm first and you're last, whatever it may be. You can tell that how people drive on the road. I mean, I've said that before. What was that the other day? I might have told you before. You know, we was coming down John B. Dennis. Kim tried to get over, nobody let her over, and finally somebody got in. She said, "Boy, they act like they own the road here, the lane. In other words, if you've got that spot, that's yours." And I said, "Well, in a way it is." I said, "You're taught when you drive, that's your spot until you cross over in that other lane. You know, if you straddle the lane, well, that's when you get in trouble, because which lane is yours, and if you hit somebody, it's your fault. But if you stay in that spot, that's yours, but it's hard to give somebody to give it up. In other words, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine." And I said, "Well, if you think about it," I said, "that's really the way people think." I said, "Try this sometime." And I'd mentioned this to Kim before, and it's been some time back. I said, "Go into a store," and I said, "if there's people milling around, but you find one item over there on the shelf, nobody's looking at it. But now you go to studying it real good. You spend a little time, and you lay it down, there'll be three or four flock right there to it." I said, "That's all you got to do." I said, "Why do you think these stores put things on these end caps? They want people to go by and sit there and study it." And see, I find myself guilty of doing the same. I'll see two or three people going down the aisle, and I think, "Well, I wonder what's down there. Well, here I go." And, you know, that's how they sell. You know, they get people interested. Well, if they like it, maybe I like it as well. I need to check that out. So, you know, you think about that. We begin, and that's a loose way to try to describe that, but we begin to think that we deserve something. In other words, we've earned the right for this or that. And in some cases, you have. You know, we've worked our lives, and you've got your home, and you've got your car, and you've earned that. You've worked. You put the sweat in, so to speak, for that. But this is thinking more about yourself, your inward thoughts towards someone else. And you know, and I find that a place in the Bible that verse happens to follow the verse which talks about our moral decline, our weaknesses, going down, going away from the things of God, spiritual decline. And as you see that, it says, "Bear you one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself." So that's got to be part of it, as we begin to think more of ourselves than we do others. Verse number 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." But look at the time. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that is teacheth in all good things. Verse number 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And I went back and again, verse number 5, and I've jotted down here, and in this sense, in the Greek, burden means an invoice, a tally. In other words, you kept track, something carried. backpacks, what I wrote. I happened to write that down. Kids were getting their backpacks ready for school. I thought about that to be something carried. And Maggie's real good about it. She'll have a little pad, and she does this, and I guess she gets it from me, and I hate she's this way because you can let it get to you too much, and it drive you crazy. And what that is she tries to write out her morning. And see, I'm that same way. You know, I told you since third grade, I've always laid my clothes out for the next day, so I'd know what to wear. And if I forget to do that, man, I'm just, and something that simple, it's like it throws my day off. I mean, I'm just like, oh, I don't, where's my shoes? You know, now I say shoe, you know, I don't say shoes. I said, where's my shoe? But anyway, I definitely don't want to grab the right one and put it on. I'll be crooked foot all day long. But so, so she's the same way. So I saw her writing that out like a tally or a list. And she'll check things off as she puts them in her book bag. And she says, oh, yeah, by another week or two, she'll all have that memorized. But see, you'll have meltdown status if she misses one of those or gets off kilter. Or if Kim and I say, well, won't we do this morning or go this way? And that throws her off. And I think about that. That's what the burden here is talking about. It's an invoice. It's a tally. It is it's something that you would put on your back. It's more of a physical burden. It's cargo of a ship is what it's talking about when it says invoice. Just like their backpacks that they carry in or the kids carry. Or if you go to work and you carry a briefcase or something with you, it's got your papers in or whatever you use or your iPad or whatever it is now, that would be what type of burden it is. It's more of a physical, not a spiritual, but a physical burden. And it means to bear, to carry, figuratively, and literally. And I've got some examples here as we look and see, and you know what one's going to be when I get to it, but we'll save it for last. We're talking about our burdens that we need to cast off so we can run. We'll get to that in just a second over in Hebrews. You say, oh yeah, I know what we're going to talk about there. But before we get there, if you'll flip over, if you'll just listen here, Matthew chapter 11, let's get an example of type of burdens here. Chapter 11, verse number 28. Different types of burdens, and I never thought, I thought burden was burden as I looked through the scripture, and there's different types of burdens we need to bear with one another, and help one another with. Chapter 11, verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In other words, here we're looking at, and I think about that as I think about Maggie writing her list down. She writes her list down, that invoice, cargo of a ship, that tally, make sure everything's there, checking it off. In other words, once you're saved, you know, those things of the world, the cares of the world, they seem to disappear and go away. In other words, your list seems to get shorter. In other words, you're more concerned about the things and the cause of Christ and one another and fellowship with brothers and sisters than you are anything else. You know, you remember Preacher Jack used to say, he said, we get so tied up with things in our garage. And he'd say, things in our garage. See, I think here the burden's light because you're no longer concerned about those things. Doesn't mean you got them and there's anything wrong with having them. But in other words, they're not the first in your life anymore. In other words, they're kind of off the tally sheet. You've lightened the ship, so to speak. Cargo's not as much in there. You've still got cargo. You've still got responsibility. You've still got burdens. But as far as the physical burden, as far as a burden of getting tied up in things of this world, it don't affect you anymore. Now, you might pray for others, because in this physical burden, as we're going to see in a second, it also talks about sickness, also talks about being weak, talking about elderly sometimes might need help. Maybe someone's been sick, needs help. Maybe, the church. And also in that, too, as you study that out in Galatians now, and I'm not going to get into that, but as you study that out, chapter 6, verses 5, 6, 7, talks about, too, supporting your preachers. It does. Because if they spend the time to minister to us as the congregation, as the sheep, then we need to be able to help them in their burdens, whether it be financial, whether it be in prayer, praying for them, whatever it may. In other words, we need to support them. If you read and study that out in the word support, it meant in every way. And that's how, of course, Paul and the apostles, and that's how they were supported then, as they went from church to church. The church supported them like we do the missionaries now. That's how the preacher or the pastor should be supported in their family, because as they minister to us. And again, that's even more, but you really get into that burden here, because it's more of a, you think about it as a physical burden, as a backpack, as a laden in a ship or a tally or a cargo, what you would carry with you. But if we finish here, verse number 28, I said in chapter 11, so come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. In other words, you're just worn out with the things of this world. They got you worn down. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, learn of me. In other words, the person in verse number 28 didn't know about Christ. Didn't know God. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You'll find peace. You'll find comfort. Rest. You know, Kim and I were out looking for another mattress. You know, we should have kept the first one we had. We had one when we first got married. And y'all are going to laugh. I probably told you before. You know, they said change out your mattress every 7 to 10 years. We'd kept that in probably 15, 16 years. Best mattress we had. Should have kept it. And the only reason why we got rid of it, somebody said, oh, you're supposed to have a new mattress about every 7 years. And I thought, oh, we'll throw this one out then. Oh, we'll throw a good mattress away. And so that's what we did. City of Kingsport got a good mattress. And we've had this one probably 4 or 5 years. It's like a bowl. It's like a banana bed. Your feet's high as your head, and you're bowed in the middle. You are. It's like a bowl, so to speak, but you bent. I don't, you know. And yeah, so we're trying to look for, you know, another mattress. And you lay down on there, you know, and they talk about rest. And I think, you know, that rest, you hear that term, said, you know, physical rest, how good it feels. But you think about rest for your soul. You know, I still remember that. I've told this many, many times, that story Preacher Jack said about. He got out and was going to get out of his mail carrier. Him and somebody had a dispute one time. He said, well, I'll take care of that fella. He said, Holy Spirit spoke to him, said, you better stay in the mail truck, deliver your mail, and go on. And he said, that's what he did. He said, he realized then, he said, and you know, I think about this a lot too, because I try to teach my children this way, and it's hard for me to do this, is just going about your business. In other words, that's their concern. And I remember what lesson I got from what he was trying to tell us, and that church service that day was, or part of what he was trying to tell us was that Lord deals with people sometimes and inside in ways you have no idea what's going on. Amen. That's right. And he said he remembered saying that. Said, Lord, just said, you better get in that mail truck and go on. He did. And he said came to his mind, said, you don't know how I'm working him. You don't know what he's got going on inside of him. So every time he sees you, that probably comes back up, that how he cheated him on a note or something, or ran out on him, didn't pay something, and left it to him to pay. And he said that he has to deal with that every day of his life, every time he sees you. And then, you know, I think about that a lot, and I think about rest. See, that man had no rest for his soul the way he'd done somebody else, at least probably when he saw him. You think about that. That's why I always try to tell, and myself guilty of this too, but try to keep everything. I don't know how the other way to say it. You guys know what I'm trying to say. But I know we got the teens in here today. Try to keep everything on the up and up, or out and open, or open communication. Because you know what? If you try to sneak around, do something, you'll get to where one day you're sneaking around your parents. You don't want to get around them because you know what you've done is not right, maybe. Or maybe you've done something or said something about somebody else, or you shouldn't have. Or you thought more of yourself than you should have thought. So that's in those same verses. And you're better off just to get it and clear the air, and because if the Lord's working on your end, maybe working on their end too. And that way when you see him, there's no naught between you. There's nothing between you. Amen. That's right. And you know, that's what I think about as I see here. There's no rest for your soul till you do that. You know, Pastor, you know, been talking about getting that, that vertical connection, you know, before you can have that vertical fellowship, before you can have that horizontal fellowship. You know, if you've got something going on in your life, you need to get right with another brother or sister or anybody, even a co-worker somewhere. Maybe they don't go to church. You don't know if they're saved or not, but still just setting it right. You need to get that out of the way and get it set to get rest. And that's when you get peace. Well, you guys know that. Like I said, I was kidding around earlier saying they went from the teen to the young adult and skipped them to come to adults. We've all lived long enough to figure that out, but it's good sometimes to be reminded of that, because as you may not be having a problem, your brother or sister may be. And that's what it's referring to here in Galatians, is to bear each other's burdens, whether it be spiritual burdens, whether it be burdens that are physical, or whatever they may be, to help each other along life's way. Last but not least, and I told you I'd say this one for last, and I've got another two or three examples there of the burdens in the Scripture, but this is the best one, and then we'll be finished. I'll read chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse number 1, and you know what I was going to get to here. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So I'll finish up with that this morning, as we lay aside every weight that so easily beset us, those physical burdens. Set them aside. And as I said, as you get your tally and your cargo and your laden ship, and they got the cargo in the ship, and you got everything set, and you're checking off the list, so to speak, and think about that with your lives too, as you check things off. Do some of those things really belong on there, or are you getting burdened, weighted down with things that really doesn't matter? And just set them aside. All right. Got time to visit one another, if you would, and